The Lord is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen.
He is
Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, a very, very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. With us this morning, we have our brothers and sisters from Wormit and Balmorino. And on behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome you all, especially those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. After the service, you are invited to join us in our church hall, where we will share teas and coffees, cakes, biscuits, and other niceties of life. And if you love flowers, I have been asked to intimate that after the service, some flowers will be put together and people can collect them if they want. We are also going to be having communion. That is why this space is so colorful, including myself, of course. When that time comes, please, the bread will be served. Don't eat your bread. And then the wine will be served. We will all eat at the same time. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 118, verse 14 to 24. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymn 457.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, as we draw near to you in prayer, our hearts are filled with awe and reverence. We marvel at the wonder of the empty tomb and the angelic proclamation that Jesus, whom we seek, has risen. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your word fills us with hope and joy, for it reminds us of your victory over death and the promise of new life in Christ. Help us, O God, to approach you with boldness, the boldness of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, who in the early morning went to anoint your son. May their courage inspire us to seek you in every moment of our lives, especially in times of uncertainty and fear. Lord, let the reality of the resurrection empower us to live with hope and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ with our words and our actions. May our lives be a testament to your grace and the transformative power of your love. Loving God, with humility we confess that we have faltered in thought, word, and deed. We have wandered from your ways and obscured the image of Christ within us. In seeking your face, we yearn for the restoration only you can bestow. Mold our hearts anew and guide us back to the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 345, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah.
Good morning. Happy Easter. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for teaching me that there should be two hallelujahs at the end. It's even more joyful. Wow, happy Easter, boys and girls. It's great to see you. And anybody else that would like to come forward and join us, you are very welcome here. You're so welcome. It's lovely for us to be back here as visitors as well on this most special of days when we have so much to celebrate. It's good to see you. How's everybody doing? You good? Excellent. Well, happy Easter to you all. Hello. There's no show without punch. Well, I was going to ask you some questions this morning. We have a quiz to get through. But I would like to start by asking you one thing, just at the beginning of the quiz. What's the best news you have ever heard? Hello, what's the best news you've ever heard? Yeah. You've got a new baby cousin coming. I think that's great. Yeah, what's the best news you've ever heard, Jacob?
That Jesus is risen.
That Jesus is risen. Yeah, excellent. My work here is done. What's the best news? Has anybody else got it? It might not be better than that, but has anybody got some good news? You got toys. You got toys. Super. Has anybody else got some good news? What's some good news that you've heard?
No.
You found out you're going to have a baby cousin, the toys, and then, of course, that all-important Easter message that we are all here this morning to celebrate that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Oh, you've got one as well. There we go. Yeah, so about your chocolate eggs. There we go. And there's all ways that we celebrate Easter. I've got a quiz for you just here. And I wonder if you can help me. Does anybody know what this is? What's that from?
It's an X.
Does anybody know what television program this comes from?
X Factor.
Thank you, Ariel. The X Factor. And the X Factor finished in 2018. I looked it up on the internet this morning, and that's 6 years ago that the X Factor was last on our television. 2018. So that's an X, and it's a shape, isn't it? I wonder, we've got some other ones as well. So the next one, hey, there's a bonus point for anybody who can actually figure it out. What type of sum is this? Difficult sum. There's a special name for it. Oh, I know what you mean by BODMAS, but that's along the right kind of lines. This is algebra, a type of equation. And we're trying to figure out, I mean, there's a plus sign there, which is a cross, but there's an X as well, 5X. And I think that the question is, what is X? So there you go. That's X in another way. And then what do we have next up here? Ah, does anybody know what this is? It's an X. This is X that used to be Twitter. This is the picture. It would have cut me out as well. This is the X that used to be Twitter. And this is their logo. What else do we have? I think we have got a couple more. What would you be doing if you went and you put a cross like that in the box? Yeah.
You would probably be doing math test.
Math test, or yeah.
Or you'd be marking something.
Well, it's maybe unfair of me to ask you guys. That's right, because it's something that you've never done. It's going and voting for the people who are going to represent us in our parliament and make decisions about what we do. So there's another example of a cross. And what else do we have here?
A map.
Uh-huh. A map with X. And what do we say? X marks the
spot.
X marks the spot. That's where the treasure will be. That's where the treasure will be, where the cross is. And what do we have? I think we have
hot cross buns.
And has anybody enjoyed some hot cross buns this year?
Yeah.
Excellent. You had them yesterday. And then there is another thing up here. There is another one. There we go. This is the cross. Yeah, and Jesus would have died on a cross, a bit like that, but it would be wooden, and it would have a cross at either side of it as well. And the cross is empty. It's empty. And there are crosses in this church as well. It might seem like a funny thing for us to celebrate, but we know that's not the end of the story, don't we? What happened after Jesus died on the cross? He came back to life, because they put his body in a tomb, and the guard rolled a heavy stone over the entrance to the tomb, and he was raised back to life for us all. And this is the reason that we have these up here. These things on the next slide. Easter eggs. Has anybody been painting or boiling eggs? And either maybe you rolled them downhill with church this morning, or that's super aerial, or maybe you'll be doing that later this afternoon. Because we remember the huge stone that was rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, and that Jesus came back to life. He came back to resurrected life in all its glory. And this, to me, is the best news I have ever heard. There's another thing up here. He is risen. This is an account of exactly what happened from Matthew's gospel. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and I think that's the best news ever. So well done. And it's the best news ever, because the Bible says that if we die a death to Jesus, we also will experience this new life in all its fullness. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be upset, you know, when there is death and when there are bad things in the world, because we know that the victory is Jesus. And God will do amazing things for us as well through the power of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. Yeah? Ah, yeah, so it's a good reminder for you. The egg is a reminder, because that's another way I've heard it described. It represents, if you know, new life, you know, with the chick emerging from the egg. And that's the reason that we celebrate this morning. It's Jesus rising from the dead. Yeah, Jacob.
The egg also represents the stone being rolled away. That's why we roll them downhill.
And that's why we roll them downhill, because the stone had been rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. So Jesus is there for us now. He lives. And isn't that just the best news ever? Shall we pray and then sing? Friends, let's join before God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for the amazing story of Easter. We thank you that every single time we hear it, it gives us an amazing sense of joy, knowing what you have done for us in the coming of your Son and the dying and the rising again. You're there for us, and you love us. And through the more difficult times, may we be particularly aware of your presence with us. So may the message and the hope of your Easter story be and abide with us all this morning and as we go from this place. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, and help us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so folks, we've got another song, and then I think you'll be going to do some Easter activity. So I hope that you have a really wonderful day, whatever you're doing, and I hope you have a good time off school, and I hope that it makes you happy to remember this brilliant message of the hope of Easter. So we're going to sing, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." 4, 5, 8. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow."
The first reading this morning is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, reading from verse 1 to 4. The end times. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, David, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And the second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, reading from verse 1 to 8. The resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And now we sing for hymn number 448, "Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Let us pray. Divine light and wisdom, as we reflect on your holy word, illuminate our hearts and minds. May the knowledge of the stone rolled away on Easter dawn bring new understanding to our shared spiritual journey. Teach us through your scripture to overcome life's barriers with the same faith that led the women to the tomb, finding it opened by your hand. In our seeking, let us find the risen Christ, the mover of stones and the transformer of hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? Today we come together as a church family. Brothers and sisters from Wormit, from Balmorino, and those of us here in Newport on Tay, Church of Scotland, and other friends and family who are visiting from elsewhere. We come together to mark not only a celebration of Easter, but the promise of a shared spiritual journey. And as one body in Christ, we are invited on this special day to think about a crucial question that echoes through the ages. Who will roll the stone away? In his book, Overcoming Obstacles to Peace, Charles Stanley argues that Christians can overcome the barriers to experiencing God's peace through faith, obedience and reliance on God's promises. And this thematic focus aligns closely with the narrative found in Mark 16:1 to 8, particularly the question posed by the women on their way to Jesus' tomb: who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? In this gospel account, the women who had come to anoint Jesus' body were confronted with what appeared to be an insurmountable obstacle, the large stone blocking the tomb's entrance. This physical barrier symbolized not only the practical challenge of accessing the tomb, but also the deeper spiritual barriers of fear, uncertainty, and grief they faced in the wake of Jesus' crucifixion. Stanley's argument about overcoming obstacles to peace can be applied to our passage of Scripture. The resolution to the women's dilemma came not from their own efforts or abilities, but from a divine intervention. They found the stone already rolled away when they arrived. And this act reveals a fundamental truth. The most daunting obstacles in our lives can be overcome through God's provision and power, not solely through human strength or ingenuity. As we gather today in the light of Easter, the story of these women is our story. Their experience invites us to look on our own tombs, our own places of death, and to ask with faith, who will roll the stone away? And the answer reverberates through the centuries, as fresh today as it was then. For today we proclaim, the Lord is risen. He is
risen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But who will roll away the stones of obstruction in our lives? It is said Easter is the day the Easter bunny comes. But the story of Easter is not about searching for eggs hidden by a bunny, but discovering the boundless love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered the grave. As Mary Magdalene and her companions wondered about the stone that sealed the tomb, we too have stones in our lives, stones of grief, of sin, of broken relationships. So how do we cope with these stones in our lives, especially that of grief? One of the persons who has greatly helped me overcome my own sense of loss is C.S. Lewis. In his book, A Grief Observed, he reflects on the experience of bereavement following the death of his wife. Lewis observes that grief is a complex and deeply personal journey that challenges one's faith and understanding of God. He candidly chronicles his experiences of pain and bewilderment following the death of his wife, revealing his raw and tumultuous path through sorrow. He grapples with the seeming silence of God, the question of divine goodness in the face of suffering, and the nature of God's love as he endures the anguish of his loss. Connecting this to the Easter narrative and the story of the women going to the tomb, Lewis's reflections on grief can be seen as the very stones in our lives that Easter promises to address. The boundless love of Jesus Christ, who conquered the grave, speaks to the possibility of finding redemption and restoration beyond the pain. Easter is not just a historical event. It is an ongoing invitation to encounter the transformative power of divine love that meets us in our deepest grief. Just as the stone was rolled away from the tomb, signifying hope and resurrection, a grief observed can serve as a reminder that God is present amid our suffering. The stones of grief, sin, and broken relationships are not endpoints, but places where God's mighty power can enter and begin a work of healing and salvation. But again, my friends, we ask, who will roll away the stones of despair? The stone before Christ's tomb was immense, a symbol of the burden of sin and the finality of death. As we ponder upon our own mortality and the fate of those who depart this earth, we remember Jesus' words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." Indeed, Christ has rolled away the ultimate stone of death, granting us access to eternal life through faith in him. Am I speaking to somebody this afternoon who are afraid of death or to die? Of course, there are many people who will relate to that, and I'm one of them. Some of you would be familiar with Woody Allen's signature blend of humor and neuroticism, addressing the fear of death in a comic way. "I am not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." But that doesn't help our sense of mortality very much. So let me take you on a small journey that can offer some consolation. Imagine a child walking through a dense forest as night begins to fall. The shadows grow long, and the sounds of the forest become strange and frightening. Every snapping twig is a monster, and every rustling leaf a ghost. The child's heart races with every step, the path ahead obscured by the encroaching darkness. This is the fear of the unknown, the natural human response to what lies hidden in the shadows. But now imagine in the child's pocket there is a flashlight. but in their fear, they have forgotten it is there. It takes a remembering, a conscious action, to reach into the pocket, pull out the flashlight, and turn it on. Suddenly, the path ahead is illuminated. The monsters reveal themselves to be just trees and bushes. The ghosts, just night birds and harmless creatures. The child's fear doesn't vanish entirely, but with the light comes a new perspective, and a path forward becomes clear. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear resurrection people, in life we walk a path shadowed by the fear of mortality. Death, like the forest at night, is an unknown that can fill our hearts with dread. It whispers of separation, of an end to all we know and love. Yet as Christians, we have been given a light that can pierce this shadow, the light of Jesus Christ's promise and resurrection. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The flashlight we carry is the knowledge that death has been defeated, that mortality is but a moment before eternity. Like the child in the forest, we need to remember to use the light we have been given. So we still wonder, but who will roll the stone away? And now, who will roll away the stones of worry and anxiety? Dear friends, in this tumultuous world, filled with pandemics, wars, and economic strife, stones of worry often besiege us. Psychologists suggest practical techniques for managing anxiety and worries, and one that readily comes to mind is for people to schedule worry time or setting aside a specific time of the day to focus on worries so we do not overrun other parts of the day. Yet, we are encouraged by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We may set aside time for our worries as suggested by modern psychologists, but let us more importantly set aside time for God, who rolls away our stones of anxiety and clothes us with peace. Dear brothers and sisters, the stone has been rolled away. The stone that was meant to seal death had been rolled away, unveiling the truth of a promise fulfilled. The resurrection of Jesus is not just an event of the past, it is a present reality, whispering to our own stones, those barriers we think immovable, that nothing is impossible with God. As we stand today in the light of the resurrection, let us hold close the joyous revelation that the same power that rolled the stone away from the tomb is at work in our lives, rolling away the stones of despair, of fear, and of doubt. Our risen Lord is the architect of a profound promise, one that reaches beyond the confines of earthly trials and tribulations, pointing us toward a horizon radiant with hope. The book of Revelation whispers of this promise, where the Almighty God declares, "Behold, I am making all things new." Here lies the vision of the new heaven and the new earth, the ultimate renewal of creation, where every tear will be wiped away, where there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. On this blessed Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection, Let us carry with us the assurance that our current struggles are as transient as the morning mist. For we are journeying towards that eternal dawn, where the light of Christ obliterates the darkness forever, where every stone that blocks our way to joy and peace is forever rolled away. Let us go forth in that resurrection hope, that in Christ all things have been made new, including us, our hearts, our lives. For he is risen, and in him so too shall we rise to a life unencumbered, a life reborn, a life eternal. So let our voices rise in unison, proclaiming, Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Holy and resurrecting God, on this Easter, as we marvel at the stone rolled away, we are reminded that your power transcends the grave. In the quiet reflection of Mary Magdalene and her companions at the tomb, we see our own lives mirrored, laden with stones of grief, sin, and brokenness that only you can move. Lord, we stand in awe of your might that casts away our heaviest burdens, not by our might, but through your divine intervention. As you brought hope and light to a tomb once sealed, bring the same to the shadows that linger in our lives. May the story of your triumph over the grave embolden us to ask in faith, who will roll away our stones? Amen. Our next theme, 410, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, as we dedicate our offerings, we do so with the knowledge that all we possess is a testament to your providence. We ask that these gifts, tokens of our earthly treasures, be sanctified for the furtherance of your kingdom. Heavenly Father, giver of peace and healer of our souls, in a world where turmoil and uncertainty often cloud our days, we turn to you seeking the serenity only you can provide. Guide our hearts towards peace that transcends understanding, a peace that is not merely the absence of conflict, but the presence of justice, love, and compassion. May your Spirit inspire us to be peacemakers in our communities, reflecting your love and bringing light to the darkened corners of our world. Help us to trust in your sovereign plan, knowing that you are with us always, and grant us the courage to act with kindness and grace towards one another. We lift the Church Universal before you. May your presence fill each congregation with the risen power of Christ, binding us in shared faith and purpose. We pray especially for the Church of Scotland. For the moderator of the General Assembly, we pray for wisdom and divine guidance. We give thanks for the faithful proclamation of the message of salvation by Christians worldwide. Bless those who contribute tirelessly to the spread of the gospel, enriching their hearts with your love and generosity. May their efforts bear fruit in abundance, drawing many to the light of your presence. Sovereign Lord, you guide the nations with your wisdom and love. We come before you to intercede for those who lead us in the governance of the United Kingdom and Scotland. We pray for King Charles III, asking that you grant him continuous good health and the wisdom to lead his people with integrity, compassion, and justice. We pray for the Prime Minister, the political elite, and the First Minister of Scotland. We pray for guidance in their decision-making, that they may pursue good governance, prioritize the welfare of all citizens, and act with humility and foresight. Grant them the courage to make difficult decisions and the strength to stand for what is just and true in your sight. Lord, our hearts are heavy with the burdens of the world, and so we pray for peace in the Middle East, Ukraine, Anglophone Cameroon, and all regions torn by conflict. May your spirit of reconciliation and healing work through their lives. And may leaders and communities come together to forge pathways to lasting peace and restoration. In all things, we trust in your sovereign will, knowing that you are working all things together for good. We remember the sick, those who mourn, the needy, and those in peril. Grant relief to the suffering, restore health to the ill, and may all who bear life's burdens find strength in Christ, the resurrection and the life. Dear Father, roll away the stones of obstruction in our lives. You who have removed the finality of the tomb, enable us to live free from the fetters of despair and anxiety. As we celebrate this Easter, may the story of the rolled stone remind us of the continual renewal you offer. We pray for all those who are dear to us, especially those from whom we are separated, whom we name in our hearts before you in silence. Father of mercies, we thank you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and thus become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep in him. For your saints, martyrs, and confessors of every age and land, we thank you. Surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, grant us to die to sin with Christ, that we may live only for you, and in the end inherit the kingdom prepared for all who love him. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is number 19, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High. After that, we will have the Apostles' Creed before we go into the communion liturgy. Number 19. Affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have desired to receive God's grace and love in the communion of the Lord's table. Many as we are one body. Therefore, acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Brothers and sisters in Christ, as the Lord Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery for which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us also come near to God and present to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes, it is indeed right, our highest joy and deepest duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places. But most especially on this day, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, you have conquered the grave, breaking the bonds of death and opened to us the way of eternal life. As we celebrate the resurrection of your beloved Son, we join the heavenly host and the whole creation which you have made to praise you. We say with joy, "Holy." Let us pray. In your boundless mercy, you sent your Son to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, O the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, proclaiming his death, celebrating his resurrection, and looking forward to his coming again in glory, we offer you, O God, this bread and this cup. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who partake at this table may be filled with the joy of your eternal kingdom, where death is no more and all tears are wiped away. Unite us in faith, hope, and love, that we may be your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Our Lord, come. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, and as you do so, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Happy are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come now with faith and repentant hearts to the table which the Lord has prepared for us. Take and eat of his bread of life and drink of his cup of salvation. with thanksgiving. Amen. Remember to keep your bread. We'll take it together with the wine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, eat the body of Christ broken for you on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of your sins. Was shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "All you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest." Having now by faith received the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, let us give thanks. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. We bring this service to its close by singing "Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son." It's number 419.
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.